Daf Mem Zayin. So the Braisa, going back to the topic of showing proper honor, this Braisa says that you shouldn't show honor to a person by letting them go first when you're traveling on the road. You don't want to cause a traffic break build-up where you're just trying to argue with the person to let them go first. You shouldn't do it over bridges either, because bridges are not safe, so you don't want the person to go first. And you should not let the person wash first after the meal. Ravin and Abaye were traveling, and Ravin went in front of Abaye, and Abaye was like, wow, Ravin, he's really becoming haughty. And then when they got to the base medrash, Ravin invited Abaye to go in first. He held the door open for him. And Abaye says, what, only now you're showing me honor? And Ravin says, no, Rav Yochanan says you only have to show honor at an entrance with a mezuzah. That's not to say that shuls and batei midrashim, which don't have mezuzahs, would not require showing honor at that entrance. Rather, he means any door that's fit to have a mezuzah, any place that's fit to have a mezuzah, you would need to show honor, which basically was saying on the road, you don't have to show honor to someone. Rav Yehuda Bered Rav Shmuel Bar Shilta quotes, Rav is saying, people that are eating together can't eat until the person who's saying amotzi eats the bread. Rav Safra says, no, Rav said that the people can't taste anything until the person eats the bread. And we said, well, what's the difference? And we said, there's no difference. Rav Safra was just teaching that you have to be very careful with the correct language that your Rebbe used. We have a braisa that says that if there are two people who are eating from one platter, if one of them has to take a break for a second, then the other one should wait for him. However, if there are three people, two of them eating from the same platter, two of them wouldn't have to wait for one person to continue eating. The braisa continues that the one who says hamotzi is the one who starts getting the food first. However, if he wants to show honor to someone greater than him, then he can. Rabbi Bar Chana taught his son this braisa before he got married. The braisa says that the one who says hamotzi can't break the bread until all have said amen. Rav Chisda says not until a majority of people have said amen. Rami Bar Chana says, what are you talking about? The bracha isn't over until everyone said amen. So why does it make a difference, majority, minority? Everyone should have to finish saying amen for the bracha to be considered over. And Rav Chisda would answer that the reason we don't care about the minority is because anyone who answers a long amen is mistaken, and they're taking too long, and they should not be. We have a braisa that says you shouldn't say an amen chatufa, which is saying amen. You shouldn't say an amen kitufa, which is an abbreviated amen, where you don't really pronounce the word right. You leave out the nun at the end. Or you shouldn't say a bracha yisoma, which is you shouldn't say an amen yisoma, which is where you say an amen without a bracha. And people should have the proper kavana, the proper concentration when they're making a bracha. And Zoma says, if you say an amen yisoma without a bracha, then your kids will be yisoma, your kids will be orphans. If you say an amen chatuma, where you say amen, then your days will be snatched. If you say an amen ketufa, an abbreviated amen, then your days will be abbreviated. And anyone that says a lengthy amen will have a long life. Rav and Shmuel were eating together. Rav Shimi Bar Chia came and he was trying to eat very quickly so that he could be part of a zimun with them. Rav says, well, what are you trying to do? We already finished eating. You can't join our zimun now. And Shmuel says, well, not so fast, because if you brought out dessert right now, you and I would continue eating. So really, our meal's not over. Rav's students were eating a meal and Rav Acha came and they said, oh, how great. There's an Adam Gadol, a great person who can lead us into the zimun. And Rav Acha said, well, why should I do it? Shouldn't it be someone that was actually part of the meal? I just got here. But nonetheless, the halacha is that a gadol, someone who's a very high stature, even if he came late, should be the one to say the zimun. So going back to our Mishnah, talking about the list of who is eligible to join a zimun. So one of the people was if someone ate dmai, which we said is rabbinically, it's food that you're not sure if truma was taken, meiser, if all the tithes were taken. So midar banan, we say that you can't eat it. But nonetheless, in the Mishnah, we say if someone ate dmai, then they can be part of the zimun. So he said, how? It's usher to eat it. And we answer that since the person could be mafgir all of his possessions, he could make ownerless all of his possessions, then he would become a poor person. And we have a braisa that teaches that a poor person, poor people and soldiers are allowed to eat tamai. Rav Huna quotes, though, that Beis Shammai's opinion is that poor people and soldiers are still nonetheless not allowed to eat tamai. The next clause in the Mishnah was a meiser rishon. It says that someone that had meiser rishon, where you took off all the tithes of it. And we said that's obvious. If you have food which was properly tithed, obviously that's just normal food and you can eat it. So we said, no, it's talking about a case where a Levi took his miser before the Kohen took his truma. Meaning the Levi takes 10%, but that's only after the Kohen takes his 2% of your produce. So the Kohen, the Levi is found to be taking 10% of 2% less of the total produce. So if the Levi took his 10% more, that 10% first, he's found to have taken a little bit more because it didn't factor in the 2% that the Kohen would have taken. So if the Levi did that and he took his 10% before the Kohen took his 2%, he would not be required to give the Kohen what the little bit of extra that he got. And this is teaching that the Meiser is allowed to be eaten even though the Levi didn't take off the Truma. Reish Lakish says, yeah, if the Levi took his portion before the Kohen did, then the Levi does not have to further give the Kohen his portion because the Pasuk says, Meiser mina Meiser, that the Levi has to give his Meiser, his Trumas Meiser, the Levi has to give a tithe from his tithe, but he doesn't have to give his tithe, the Kohen's tithe, and the Kohen's tithe from his tithe. So it just says Meiser mina Meiser, not the Truma and Trumas Meiser mina Meiser. If Papa says to Abai, okay, so we had said this halacha only applies when the grain is still in its ears. If the Levi took his Meiser before the Kohen took his Truma, while the grain is still in the ears, this halacha applies. But why shouldn't it apply if it's in the piles as well? That it should apply. So he answered, the Pasuk says, Mikol Masrotechem Tarimu, from your Maiserot, or it's Mikol Masrotechem, and then the end of the Pasuk says Tarimu, from your Maiserot, the Levi should take Truma. So this is teaching that there is a case when the Levi did take his Maiser and would have to give the Kohen his share, that he took extra. And we answer that that's a case of where the grain was already in the piles. That's when the Levi would have to be required to pay the Kohen back his portion. And so Republic says, well, why do you say that pasuk applies in piles and the other pasuk applies when it's in the ears, that you wouldn't have to take off the Truma? So we answered that the second pasuk is talking about grain, and it's only considered grain when it's in the pile, and only by grain would the Levi have to give the portion that he took a little bit extra from the Kohen. The Mishnah continues, Meiser Sheni or Hektesh that you transferred the Kedusha of, and it says that's okay, that you can eat, that somebody who transferred the Kedusha, the holiness of the Meiser Sheni and the Hektesh, can be part of a Zimun. Again, we said that's obvious. And the case is actually where someone redeemed his own Meiser Sheni or his own Hektesh, because when you redeem your own, then you have to pay a fifth on top of the price that you would have had to pay it. And this guy didn't actually pay the fifth yet. And this is teaching that the fifth that you didn't pay is not going to passel, is not going to make your redemption invalid. We said that a waiter who ate a kezias can be part of a zimun. Again, this is obvious, but because kezias is the least amount that you need, but you might have thought the waiter can't be part of the meal, but this is coming to teach you that he can. We said that a kusi could join a zimun, but a kusi is nothing more than just an ama aretz. He's an ignoramus. And the Braisa says that we can't join a zimun with an ama aretz. Abai answers that it's a kusi who was a Talmud Chacham, so it doesn't count. Rava says, no, even just a regular kusi, and we're talking about the Rabbanan's description of an ama aretz, because we have a Braisa that says, Rameir says an Ama Aretz is someone who eats food that is tame, impure. The Rabbanans say it's someone who doesn't give his tithes properly. And we know that the Kusim give their tithes properly because it's in the Torah. And we have a Braisa that says any mitzvah that the Kusim do, they do better than Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, they would not fall under the category of an Ama Aretz, according to the Rabbanan, of one who does not give his tithes properly. We bring in a Braisa. Rabbi Lazar says an Ama Aretz is someone who doesn't say Kriyat Shema in the morning and at night. Rabbi Yeshua says an Ama Aretz is someone who doesn't put on tefillin. Ben Azai says an Amaretz is someone who doesn't have tzitzis on his garment. Rav Nassan says an Amaretz is someone who doesn't have a mezuzah on his house. Rav Nassan bar Yosef says it's someone who has sons and he doesn't raise them to learn Torah. The Acherim say an Amaretz is someone who, even if he learned lots and lots of Torah, he's someone that didn't serve a Talmud Chacham and therefore would be considered an Amaretz. Rav Huna says that the Lach is like the Acherim, that if you don't serve a Talmud Chacham, you're an Amaretz. Rami Bar Chama wouldn't join his Zimun with Rav Menashe Bar Tachliva, who, even though he learned a lot, he didn't serve a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he considered him an Ama Aretz. When Rami Bar Chama died, Rava said the reason he died is because he didn't join in a Zimun with Rav Menashe Bar Tachliva. We said, why is that a problem? The Braisa says that you shouldn't join a Zimun with an Ama Aretz who is someone that did not serve a Talmud Chacham. So we answered, no, really, Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa did serve the Talmud Chacham, and Rami Bar Chama just didn't investigate well enough to know. Or we could say Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa was different than a regular student because he just listened to the Shiurim and he studied, but he didn't actually learn with a senior Rabbanim, and therefore he didn't have anyone to serve. The Mishnah continues that if you ate tevel, which was food that you didn't take the tithes off of, or maaser rishon, which was the tithe that you're not allowed to eat, then you can't be part of a zimun. We said that's obvious. It's tevel. We know you're not allowed to eat that. That's something that's usher to eat. And so it answered that we're talking about a case that even if you ate tevel derabanan, food which would be considered tevel only according to the rabanan, you still can't make a zimun. And what's a case of tevel derabanan? It's like grain that was grown in an unperforated pot that would still require truma and maaser midarabanan. We said maaser rishon also is obvious, that if you ate maaser rishon, you can't be part of a zimun. So he said, no, that's talking about the case, again, going back, where the Levi took his maaser before the Kohen. And this is teaching that we don't go like Rav Papa, who said that this halacha, that the Levi doesn't have to pay back the Kohen, would even apply when the Chuma is in a pile. So basically, this is teaching we don't go like Rav Papa's question, that this halacha would apply whether or not the grain was in the ears or if it was in the pile. We said Meiser Sheni or Hektish that wasn't redeemed. Again, this is obvious. You're not allowed to eat that. And we said it's needed for a case where you redeemed it, but you didn't do it in the right way. Such as by Meiser Sheni, where you transferred the sanctity, the Kedusha, to an unminted coin. And the Pasuk teaches that you can only transfer the Kedusha onto a minted coin. And by Hektish, it's where you transferred the Kedusha to land. However, the Pasuk teaches that you can only transfer the Kedusha to money. And the next part of the Mishnah says a waiter that ate less than a kezias can join the zimun, cannot join the zimun. And we said, well, that's obvious if you ate less than a kezias. And we said, no, it's just going with the flow. We said a waiter who eats more than kezias can join, so we just taught the parallel case. We said you can't join with a non-Jew, and this is excluding a case of someone who even did every part of the conversion process, but he didn't go to the mikvah, like Rav Yochanan says you're only considered converted when you go to the mikvah. We said you can't join with women, slaves, or minors. Rav Asi says you can join the Zimun even with a baby in a cradle. However, our Mishnah says you can't join with a katan, with a minor. So Rav Asi says this is going like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that a baby in a cradle can't be part of a Zimun, but he can join 9 to form a 10-person Zimun. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that 9 and a slave, Eved Kenani, could be part of a Zimun. However, we have a Braisa where Rabbi Lazar once freed his slave to make a minion. But he shouldn't have had to free his slave to make a minion because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that a slave can be part of a minion. So we answered that in that case of Rabbi Lazar, there were 8 people at the shul and he had 2 slaves. So he freed one who became the 9th and his 10th slave, his other slave became the 10th as a slave. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you free a slave, you transgress a mitzvah's ase of the olam behem tavodu, that they always should serve you. So you can't do that because it's transgressing this commandment. And we answered that you can violate this commandment for a mitzvah. However, this is a mitzvah haba be'avera. It's a mitzvah that you're doing, which is coming at the expense of doing an avera. And we answered that for a communal mitzvah, meaning to allow these people to say kaddish and things like that, then it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi says, a person should be among the first 10 to enter the shul because then he'll get the reward for all the other people that come because he brought Hashem into the shul. Rav Huna says 9 and the Aron make a minion. Rav Nachman says, what do you mean 9 and the Aron? The Aron's not a person. So he answered, it's 9 who appear as 10 create a minion, which is either they're all spread out so you can't tell how much they are, or they're tightly together so it looks like there's a lot. Rav Ami says that 2 and the Shabbos form a Zimun. Rav Nachman says the Shabbos is not a person. And he says, oh no, really, it's 2 Talmidei Chachamim who learn really well together can create a Zimun. Rav Chista pointed to himself and Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes pointed to himself and Rav Chista as Talmidei Chachamim who learn really well together. Rav Yochanan says that a minor with 2 pubic hairs, a katan poreach, can form a zimun, can be part of a zimun, but we have a braisa that supports this that says that a katan poreach can make a zimun, a katan that's not a poreach cannot make a zimun, and we don't discriminate with a minor. So this seems to be a contradiction. We said a katan poreach can be part of a zimun, a katan that's not a poreach cannot be part of a zimun, and then we said we don't discriminate against any katan. So why are we saying that last time we don't discriminate against any katan? It's teaching that only a katan poreach can be part of a zimun, which is a support for Rav Yochanan, who said that a katan poreach can be part of a zimun. Shkayach.